Hello, and welcome to Stronger Together,
a podcast about strength, wellness, and navigating the hard things.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're yoga and mindfulness instructors who know that the path to wellness isn't easy.
And it's even harder without community.
We're here to offer real conversations,
raw and honest moments,
and to remind you that you're never alone.
So make yourself comfy.
And let's do it.
Because we are all stronger together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. On today's episode of the podcast, we'll be talking about surrendering to support from others. Why is that so challenging sometimes, but why is it so necessary for our wellness? Before we get started, let's take a nice breath together. Inhale. Exhale. Hi, Char.
Hello.
How are you?
Feeling good and filled up from yoga and excited to chat about this.
I agree. So far, so good with our tech.
I know. This is like season four? A season four exhale. Like, woo, yeah. Finally, we are moving easily into an episode. It's been challenging.
It's been challenging. We've had little and big hiccups, but we're here.
We are. And it feels good.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about today's topics.
Me too. This is one of the episodes or one of the topics that I really am excited for this season because it's relatively new for me in my experience. And I know that other people have a hard time surrendering to other people caring for them and showing support.
I know. And it's like we could all have, you know, a bunch of therapy sessions to trace back why that's the case and why is it so challenging for us to be cared for and why does that make us feel uncomfortable. But before we even touch upon that, let's talk about why that's so important.
Like, yeah,
why is it so important to allow ourselves to surrender to the support of others?
Yeah, I remember when I first started going to acupuncture, this was like height of the pandemic where I was in this role of just being a leader in my business, in the community. And I got to acupuncture and I didn't even know I needed it. But my acupuncturist said to me, like, it's your turn to get cared for. And I burst out crying. And I was just like, as I think, especially as women too, there's this expectation that we are the source of support for other people. And especially as healers, I know we have some yoga teachers that listen to this podcast and some teachers, we have this expectation to show up for other people and support other people so much. And I know from my experience, I didn't even know how good it felt to be in that receiving position until I was in that receiving position.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times our identity and our sense of self-worth is wrapped up in how much we give others and how much we care for other people.
Yeah.
And what we get back from caring for others. Because let's be honest, that can be a really nourishing, positive experience to care for others.
Yeah, it fills our cups.
But to be cared for, vulnerable, maybe unpredictable, lack of control, right? You really have to surrender not only to being held by others, figuratively, maybe, and literally, but to release that control of what the outcome could be.
Right. Yeah, I know that a lot of us as children were in this position where we were cared for, and we were just told where we're going and what's on the schedule. And then once we float into adulthood, maybe we go off to college or maybe we get our first job or whatever. It's just that hit of like, all right, now it's on you. And there's so much pressure that comes with being an adult in the world that we live in because we really have to care for ourselves. And I think that the more that we care for ourselves, the harder it becomes to trust other people. Because maybe we've been let down before, maybe people who have meant to be there for us, harmed us in some way. And it just becomes a little bit challenging to actually surrender. I know we're using that word a lot, but it's a really powerful word to let ourselves, you know, be held.
Yeah. I actually got chills when you were saying that because I'm sure this will resonate with people. But there have been times in my life where I have almost worn it as a badge of honor. Like, I don't need anybody else. I can take care of myself. I got this. Like, right. I'm so strong. I'm so resilient. I can do this. I don't need anybody else. That's actually not true. at all. As first of all, as humans, we are wired to connect to others as a form of survival. But that does come from this wall that we build up from being hurt and from maybe cultivating some deeper trust issues rooted from that pain. But it's like, I don't need anybody else. I got this. What we're really saying is that I don't want to be hurt by anybody else.
Yes.
So I'm not going to invite in that potential.
That is such an interesting and profound reframe. Because it's so true.
Yeah.
You know, when we really dig deep and we uncover why we don't want other people to be there for us, it's hurt and it's pain. Yeah. And it's in yoga, what is that word when you avoid things? Dvesha.
Mm-hmm.
It's this practice of avoiding things that have caused us pain in the past and wanting to move further and further away from the possibility of that pain coming back. But it's not guaranteed that pain will come back. That's why we just have to trust.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the Shraddha, right? That's the faith. My whole body is buzzing right now. Like I am just feeling this, like, because no matter where you are in your life, we've all had a moment of somebody that we've trusted who let us down.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they probably didn't even mean to. Right.
Yeah.
But it's so important for us. We talk about, like, in our intro, busting through barriers. And this is a huge barrier, like surrendering to other people and allowing yourself to be cared for can be a really big obstacle.
Totally.
And I think we see it in, like, big and small forms. So do you want to talk a little bit about why you were inspired to bring this up? And then I've had a very recent experience that connects so beautifully into this topic.
Absolutely. Yeah. So two of the best moments of my life have happened this year. The first one was my engagement. And Russ and I were talking about getting engaged for a while. I was pretty much like, when are we getting engaged? Like, I was ready. But when it finally happened, I'm going to share this really sweet moment. There are a bunch of sweet moments from the engagement, but this one really sweet moment that just took me by complete surprise. If you know Russ, you know he's an angel. Like, you know he's a big teddy bear, and he is one of the most sweet men I've ever known in my life. And our connection stems back to 2010. So we have years and years and years of growing together and knowing each other. And there's this deep trust and love and connection between the two of us. And the day we got engaged, I'm definitely going to cry. He took me to a place that was just so special to me. It was one of my mom's favorite places, and we have a tree buried. We have a tree planted there in her honor. It had a little sign, you know, dedicated to her. So I think of the Arboretum, Planting Fields Arboretum, as like kind of akin to other people visiting a grave site. You know, she was cremated. We have her ashes elsewhere, but that's one of the places that has a little bit of her. And he took me there, and I kind of had this inkling, like, is it going to happen today? Like, we're in this really special place, but I wasn't sure. And then we walk in further into the Arboretum, and Russ was a little bit jumpy. Like, he had a lot of energy. I could tell. I was like in the back of my head, like, is this happening? Is it not? And so to get some of that energy out, he did a squat jump onto a bench, and I heard a little like clink. And so I look over at the bench, and nail polish flew out of his pocket. And as soon as I saw this nail polish, I looked the other way. I pretended I didn't see it. I have all these things in my head going, is this happening? Is this happening? Is this happening? He had nail polish.
And why did he have the nail polish? Because what did you tell him?
I told him, Russ, I need my nails done when you propose. I'm like, if my nails are not done, I'm going to be pissed. And I thought maybe we were getting engaged the day after. It was a Saturday. I thought it might happen on Sunday. So I completely stripped my nails of all the nail polish, and they were disgusting looking. And he looked at, before we left the house, he took a look at my hand. He noticed that they weren't done. He found where I had my nail polish, and he picked the one that he thought I would want with a ring on my finger. And just that little moment of like, oh my gosh, he is completely supporting me because he knew what I wanted, and he went out of his way to make sure that happened. And then like the entire day after that, we come home, my family is there, this whole party was set up for me. And these people did everything behind my back. Every single thing. Smart when it comes to surprises. I think I catch on very easily, but I had no idea. And when I walked in and I saw these cookies that my friend Julie's birth mom had made with our initials on them, it was almost this moment of like, wow, like these people care enough about me, I could cry, to do this behind my back. And it was so sweet. And like, my heart is so full even talking about it. Just the fact that like people cared enough to do that.
Yeah. I love that. And yeah. I think that your ability to receive that is what's allowing like this moment to really take hold in who you are, because, and who you'll become, because I think it's so easy to walk into an environment like that and you and the reaction be, why did you do this? You didn't have to do this, mm-hmm. right? And it's mm-hmm. like, you didn't have to show up for me. You don't have to love me. And it's like, no, you love me and I'm going to allow you to love me. And I'm going to allow you to take time out of your day to come here, and I'm not going to feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to feel like I took you away from something else. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to really just absorb this love and feel completely worthy of it.
It's so loving to even hear, you know, talk about this, you know, I just love this conversation so much. And I also feel very grateful to have the people in my life that love me like this. You know, like I've always had loving people in my life, but I haven't always let them in. Like we're, you know, that's the point of this conversation. But at the point that I'm at in my life right now, the ability to let people in has changed my wellness tenfold. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about so many times on the podcast, my pillars of wellness, four pillars of wellness. The last one is social health, mm-hmm. and it's letting yourself have a support system. And your support system doesn't have to be your family. Right. You can choose your support system, and it takes time to build relationships, but it is so worth building relationships with people. Because just love can blossom out of that.
Yeah. And then from that comes more self-love, mm-hmm. because when we allow ourselves to feel worthy of other people's love and support, then we are reminded that we do ultimately love ourselves as beings.
So true.
And that is the ultimate reservoir of abundance, right? Mm. Overflowing from this place of loving yourself. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that what we're talking about is yet another inspiration for this podcast, is for people to surrender to us and to allow us to pour into you as listeners, and for us to be able to say, like, we care enough about community that we want to have these conversations and to get vulnerable and to get raw and honest, mm-hmm. and to admit that it's really easy to seem like wellness doesn't take effort.
Right.
And we know that's not true. And mm-hmm. I also want to say, because I'm in a very long-term relationship too, and I know this, and, you know, not to like violate either one of our privacies. Not that, I mean, we're private. we're not like really worried about that on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I know that you and Russ have also put effort into this relationship, right? Yeah. You put effort into your sisterhood. You put effort into these people that are now, that you are now allowing yourself to receive from.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was just, I don't know. Cause I feel like I don't want anybody to be listening and be like, oh God, I wish I had that. Like whatever you have in your life right now, if you can just stop and think to yourself, how are people showing up for me? Like Charlotte and I are showing up for you right now, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. there are small ways and there are huge ways. Like you just identified this gorgeous, huge way, but maybe it's, you know, your friend sending you $5 Venmo to buy coffee.
Right.
Right. And for you to just say, thank you. Not saying, why did you do that?
Right.
Or like, you didn't have to do that, or sending them $5 back. And then you're in like this fight with each other. Right.
Yep.
Like it's just truly surrendering to that. I am worthy of this cup of coffee because I am loved, and this is how someone is showing their love for me.
Yeah. And I love that. And I also want to mention like what we're saying. There was a journal entry that I found of mine from 2018. So that wasn't that long ago, 2018. Mm. And during that period of time, Russ and I weren't together. I was single for like one of the first times in my adult life. And I felt really lost, and I didn't have a group of friends, and I wasn't super close. I mean, I was always close with my sisters, but like now we're we have a deeper family connection. So I was single. I didn't have close friends and my family connection wasn't as strong.
And you were living alone, right?
And I was living alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I look back at this journal entry and I wrote like what I want. Mm. And I made this list and I said a close group of girlfriends. I flash forward to 2023. Is it 2023? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have it. Mm-hmm. And I had like a really solid connection with my family. I fast forward to 2023. I have it.
Mm-hmm.
A loving, unconditional relationship. I fast forward. I'm engaged to the love of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there are moments I know in that time when I was writing it down, I was so devastated because things, but all it took was the intention. This is what I want. And then the little steps to make that happen.
Right.
So if and you find yourself being like, well, I don't have a close group of friends, or like, I'm not close with my family, or I'm single. Like, it's not forever. And there are things that you can do. This could be a whole separate episode that we do, but there are things that you can do to manifest those things, make them real, make them happen.
Yeah. And I have been on the side of that. Like, I have been in this space the last year or so where I felt a real imbalance in my offering and my receiving, right? So I was doing a lot of offering. My job in general is service, right?
Yeah.
I'm an educator. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a mindfulness instructor. I co-led yoga teacher trainings for 9 years. And that's a lot of offering.
Yeah.
And I got into this space where you and I talked in earlier seasons about burnout. And that was definitely a contributor to my own personal burnout. But there was also this space of not being able to surrender to other people caring for me. So when I realized that need, I'll even be as bold as to say a deficit, like a real deficit in my emotional well-being, I started to seek out experiences that would allow people to curate experiences for me, that I would allow myself to be cared for by others and then fully and completely surrender into that. And admitting like, this is what I want. This is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually coming off, was it just last weekend? I'm like all turned around.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the time we're recording this, just last weekend, I'm coming off of a women's retreat that was so beautifully curated by Madeline Santoro, who I've talked about on the podcast before. And there's another episode, I think from season 3, where I talk about another episode that we talked about in season 3, where I talked about the other retreat that I was on with Madeline as the facilitator. And being immersed in an entire weekend that is curated just for you as a woman to connect, to move through grief, fear, anger, sadness. And then on the other side of moving through those emotions, feeling joy and sisterhood and feeling so deeply cared for and held in a space that is safe and in a space that is unapologetic, right? Yeah. It's just like, everybody's coming from all different walks of life with all different experiences, but the common thread is everybody needed connection.
Yeah. It's just real.
Yeah. And everybody needed time away to allow themselves to be cared for by someone else. And the only way that these experiences work is if you walk in the door and you surrender.
Yeah.
Because if you are resistant to these experiences that are being curated for you, the weekend would feel really challenging, right? It
Definitely.
Would feel like there's no absorption. There's no space for this to seep into who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But what's beautiful about being on a retreat, and once again, like, I'm totally acknowledging my privilege for being able to do that, but I fucking saved my money and I set it out and I set this intention and I really made this happen for myself.
Yeah.
And it's this moment of saying like, wow, I'm allowed to remove myself from my normal responsibilities. I am allowed to put things on hold, on pause, ask people for help and support so that I can be away for the weekend. And without those responsibilities and without that external pressure, all of a sudden, the surrender is there.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like acknowledging that there are a lot of external forces in our lives right now that make surrendering challenging and that make surrendering feel almost like we're going into fight, flight, or freeze, right? Like if I surrender, oh my gosh, what's going to happen?
Yes.
But here I am in this safe place where there's a schedule laid out for me. My meals are being cooked for me. There's an anticipation of what I might need. There's a carefully orchestrated experience to get me into my body so that I can process what I need. All of those things were developed for my highest good.
Yes. And you as a healer, as a provider, as an instructor, as a teacher, as a mother, as a friend, as a sister, I could go on. you are so much more for other people when you fill up your own cup. Mm-hmm. And taking the time to go on that retreat and admit this is what I need and make it happen is literally filling up your wellness cup, you know? And it's what you were saying before, that it takes a little bit of trust to admit that you might need support and surrender, because it's vulnerable and it could, you know, things could get uncomfortable. Like what if you were rooming with somebody who had different needs than you, or you didn't match with something, or you didn't agree with the food? Like there are a lot of things that could have gone wrong, but even though there were things that could go wrong, you recognized that there are a lot of things that could go right. Yeah. And you chose to put your trust in the fact that this can be good for you. And because you did that, it was good for you.
Absolutely. And also shout out to the best roommate, because she's amazing. But I would say the first time I went on retreat, everything you're saying, like, you know, holds true. It was an immense leap outside of my comfort zone. Why? Yeah. Because I'm used to leading, not receiving. I'm used to facilitating, not, you know, being on the receiving end of the facilitation. So it was so much so like, am I making the right decision? Even like driving up, you know, to the retreat house, I'm like sweating and I also got lost. So that didn't help. But, but there was this space of like, there's this moment of, did I make a mistake? Am I doing the right thing? Is this surrender what I really need? Is this really what my soul's calling for? And then of course, then once you move into surrender and you can trust people and you can allow those experiences to unfold for you, then it's like, okay, when is the next one?
Yeah.
when are we doing this again? You know, because it's like, oh, this is such an essential part of my wellness. I have to do it again. Yeah. Right. It's how I feel with yoga. It's how I feel with the experience within a yoga class. It's like, oh, okay, I just finished this class. When am I signing up for the next class? Right. Because it's so essential. It's such an integral part of my well-being. And we talked about in 2 weeks ago or last week, I'm not really sure which episode, but we talked about, because I know you and I record them not necessarily in the order in which the episodes drop, but we talked about, wellness in an ever-changing world is finding what works for you, finding that thing that whatever it is, whatever pillar it falls into, oh, I need more of this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to allow myself to surrender into more of that. And I'm going to allow myself to feel vulnerable to ask people to support me. Mm. And I'm going to allow myself to feel vulnerable to receive that support. It's huge. And I had this moment on the retreat and I'm going to share it. And I didn't intend to share it, but it's just coming out of me right now. You know the story, but it was the first morning and it was early. We were doing movement and literally Madeline said like maybe two or three words and I like broke open. I was crying. Like really crying. So I'm like, what do I do? And if you know me, I'm not a big crier.
Right.
It's very easy for me to cry for others. But when it comes to really crying for myself, it's something that I struggle with.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, what is this? Like, my mat is wet. I'm crying. Do I leave? Do I leave the room? No, I'm going to stay. Like, this is the inner narrative. I'm just going to surrender to this moment right now. Because whatever just initiated this kind of cracking open for me, it needed to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like it needed to happen. So if I run from it, it's like I'm putting up my own block in front of my own healing. So I'm just going to do it. And I did it. And I made it through the class. And then wet, sobbing, like crying, tired.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman next to me, who also happened to be my roommate, she heard me, you know, crying. And I know it was hard for her to just allow me to surrender and to not kind of like come onto my mat, ask me if I was okay. But when class was over, I just kind of, I couldn't even get up. I literally couldn't even get off the mat. But this was all so good. Like this was connecting to like a deep, you know, a deep pain that I had been kind of pushing aside that just came up and I allowed it to come. And she kind of rolled over onto my mat and she was, you know, asked for consent. I said, okay, if I give you a kiss and a hug. And I received it. And we were laying on our mats, hugging. And then another sister from the retreat came over and joined us. And the two of them just held me in this embrace for so long. And it's like, I actually can't even believe that I allowed that to happen because that is not something that I would have allowed to happen. That is not something that would have felt comfortable for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be the hugger, but I'm not going to be the huggy.
Right. Yeah.
I will hold space for you. I will sit with you in your pain. But for me to allow others to hold space for me, and then from that support, it really allowed me to open up and talk about this pain and this wound. Is hard for me to talk about, right? But it was such an incredible moment of healing and surrendering to that support in that moment in particular has already been like a huge catalyst and shifts for me. And although I was exhausted after, my eyes were swollen and I was like, oh God, I have to go take another shower, like all of that, like, it was so essential.
Yeah, you let yourself feel pain and discomfort and sadness and release. And that is the strength. The strength is not holding it in and not showing it. The strength is letting it out and letting yourself be held while it's happening.
Yeah.
Did you notice, I was going to ask, did you notice like when the two girls like first started hugging you and holding you, did you have any blocks that you felt, or were you just wide open already?
I was wide open already. And that to me, like we talk about sometimes with surrender comes surprise. That to me was like a sweet surprise because I would not have expected to be just so open and to be so vulnerable and to be, you know, in a space where it was apparent that I needed support, but that I was allowing it to happen. And if I were alone, if that happened and I had that moment where I was like, oh, I feel this pain coming up, I can guarantee you I would have distracted myself from it. I would have probably found something to do. I would have, you know, but I was in this space where there was really nowhere to go. Like, and that's also the beauty of being like in an experience that's curated for you. It's like, where am I going to go? I'm 3 hours away from home.
Yeah. You can't hide.
I can't hide. My responsibilities that I could normally use as a distractor or have been taken off of my plate. So I think that because I sought out this experience for healing and connection and sisterhood and surrender, and then I did it again, right? This was my second retreat. I was just like primed for this like cracking open.
Yeah.
Right. And what it really felt like was like, it felt like acknowledging these cracks in my heart and then allowing the support from others to like fill those cracks.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it felt like. And this could, you know, this is obviously like can be on the, you know, like on an extreme example, but not really, because I don't have to be on a retreat to receive a hug from someone or for somebody to say like, hey, you look like you're struggling. Can I hold space for you? Can I be there for you? So I think that it was a huge surprise to me. It was a huge surprise, but I feel as though it kind of like, it felt like it changed the fabric of who I'll be moving forward. It's like, I can be strong, but I don't have to be stoic. Right. I can assert myself, you know, as a leader in the wellness, the wellness field, especially here where we're from on Long Island, and still admit that I need help and support. I can help others move through their pain while I'm still processing my own pain.
Yeah. Because you're not a superhuman, you're a human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have to, you know, we have the gift of feeling all this, all these emotions. And it just makes us better humans. It allows us to connect more. Like, yep. How can we hold space for other people when they're hurting if we don't even know what pain feels like?
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. So it sounds like
I needed a deep breath. I know.
I know. I mean, you're being so strong for even sharing this all here. Like, I guess the connection that I'm really making is surrendering always comes with vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Mm-hmm. You can't surrender without being vulnerable. And that is one of the hardest things to do, but it's necessary for our well-being. Yeah.
And just remembering that it's a sign, like, to me, vulnerability and strength they're like glued together. Yeah. And it's like, when you had your 30th birthday a couple of months ago and we were planning something for you, and a couple of us were like, we want to plan something for Shara's birthday. And I contacted you and I said, do you want to be involved in the planning or do you want us to take care of it and surprise you? And you said, which surprised me, to be honest. I don't know if I ever told you that. It surprised me. You were like, I don't know. I don't want to know anything.
Yeah.
I want to be totally surprised.
And the reason that I was able to know that I would enjoy a surprise is because a couple months ago, I was surprised for my engagement and it felt so good. And so that was me seeking out, just like you sought out your retreat. That was me seeking out support. And the party that you guys threw me, I will cry just thinking about it. I felt so freaking loved from the moment I woke up. You came 2 days in a row. You spent your entire weekend with me. And I'm like,
with pleasure.
I remember having a moment being like, Leslie works Monday through Friday. And she literally dedicated Saturday and Sunday to me. Like, I felt like I wasn't worthy, but I know I am.
But you are. Mm-hmm. You are.
And you constantly remind me that.
Oh, I'm sad. That's a privilege to be able to remind you of how special you are. And I'm really thinking of, like, I see you on Zoom right now, and I'm thinking of like 2018 Char, and I'm like giving her a hug because it's like, you didn't have any of this. Mm-mm. And you knew that you wanted to make it happen. And, you know, through supporting your own wellness and seeking out the people who supported you, you created it. Five years later. And it's like the texture, the fabric of your life is so different now.
It's so different.
So I know, like, if you're listening, you could be in the thick of it and you could be in a transition, or you could feel stuck in the same place that you've been for a while. And Shar and I are here to remind you that getting really clear on what you need and then seeking it out and allowing people to support you through it, that's going to be how things change.
Mm-hmm. That's the secret sauce.
And just take a moment, right? And just like, let's take a breath. Can we take a breath together?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, breathe in and out. And just taking a moment and feeling how these words showed up for you in your body, and if it felt really open or blocked, and just thinking about those potential blocks that reside in all of our hearts, not feeling worthy of support, maybe being really fearful of giving up that control, or maybe you have had, maybe who has not had a past experience where someone hurt you. And I know you and I have plans for talking about that in this season, is when people let you down when you least expected it, right? And like what that can stem from and what that can feel like. So stay tuned for that. But Charlotte and I are here to remind you and to hold you and to remind you, you are absolutely worthy of everything in your heart's desire, and specifically supporting your own wellness by surrendering to others.
That's right. We are here and we hope you feel it.
Yeah, we hope you feel it. And we also just want to say thank you for supporting us, because the feedback we've gotten already from this season has been extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And your messages and your DMs and your emails, they mean so much to us, because it lets us know that what's landing in our hearts is also landing in all of your hearts, and that this is helping connect us and ultimately, you know, strengthen the collective wellness. So thank you for taking time out of your day and life to support your own wellness and to reach out to us. It means the world.
It really does. And 50 episodes later, we're not going anywhere.
Oh my gosh. 50 episodes.
I love Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Love you, Les.
We love you all.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope you love that episode of Stronger Together.
And if you did, can you please share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors?
Yes, help us get this out there so that we can connect with more people.
And guess what? Spotify allows you to rate now. So if you're listening on Spotify, can you please rate for us? And yes. Apple Podcasts lets you review. So review.
5 stars on Spotify and tell us what you love about the podcast. We are so happy that you're part of this community.
We love you.